came about and transpired. So this is part two with Padres 360. We're talking to Rod Gasper. And Rod, so now 1970, you end up being a player to be named later in a trade where Rod Erbel went over to the Mets. And Buzzy Bavasi evidently saw you and thought you were a really good player, really liked your hustle and your aggressiveness in the outfield. So you end up kind of playing at the time when the Padres are in their expansion time. Talk a little bit about yourself as a player. I know you played a lot with the Hawaii Islanders. Talk about the experience of playing in Honolulu Stadium and maybe some of the Padres that went up to the Major League team, some of the people that you got to know.
Well, first of all, let me tell you about the trade, you know, from the Mets to the Padres.
Sure.
You know, in 70, I came to spring training, and I wasn't in shape at all. I mean, figured I'll win the World Series, you know, I'll play here the next 10 years. It's just very immature, nickel brain type thing. Didn't play winter ball. Gil wanted me to go on Venezuela to play winter ball. Didn't play winter ball. First year of my life, I didn't play baseball year round. So I come to spring training in 1970 with the Mets, and I was one of the last guys to sign, by the way. And, didn't do well at all. Deserved to get sent down. I think I was the last guy cut in 1970. And of course, I felt sorry for myself. But, you know, I got into shape. They sent me down. But the best thing that came out of that from getting sent down in 1970 was I met my future wife, my bride Sheridan.
Well, there you go.
We'll be married 45 years, July 7th, you know, about a week from now. So, anyways, yeah, I met her the next day after I got sent down. I think the year before I made the club on my birthday, April 3rd, and I think the next year I got sent down on my birthday, April 3rd. Anyways, I met Sheridan the next day. I got in shape, went down to Tidewater, and I was leading the league in hitting. You know, and, you know, I was in like 370, and till I could hit, you know, I swung the bat well while I played regularly, like a lot of guys. And, but, you know, so after the season, they called me up in 1970, and, but they had, you know, the Mets had a lot of talent in that organization that year. They had a lot of good pitchers, of course, and fielders and outfielders.
Yeah, they were drafting extremely well during that time.
Well, they had a great guy. They had Whitey Herzog was in the organization. You know, they had Burbrink. I mean, they had some good baseball men. You know, unlike today, there's a bunch of computers that do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But so I was expendable, so they got rid of me and for Herbal. And the Padres wanted me. They had planned, from what I understand, on playing me in left field, being their left fielder. And I forget who their center fielder is going to be. But so, really, again.
I'm trying to think if it was Cito Gaston that they had, 70.
Might have been Cito, because Ollie Brown was in right.
Yep.
Ollie recently passed away. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yes, we had written a little bit about him or whatever, and we actually, it's funny, on an unrelated note, we actually tweeted it out from our Padres 360 account before the San Diego Padres did.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, he's a nice man. That's funny. That's another story. But anyway, so I go to spring training for the Padres, not in shape again, Wayne. And I was terrible. And, you know, you didn't think I'd learned from the previous year because they handed me the job, basically. So I threw it away. So end up, you know, eventually, you know, going down to Hawaii, playing there, which is fine, but that's not the big leagues, of course. Although the new stadium we ended up playing in 75 and 76 was probably nicer than what the Padres played in, but went down there and had some good years, and usually hit 300 when I played in Hawaii, you know, we enjoyed it there, but I think the problem was I was content there, and I shouldn't have been, you know. I did get back to the big leagues, of course, with San Diego first for a while in 71 and in 74, but nothing like, you know, I should have been one of those should have, could have things. But, hey, you know, you learn from that, and you only get one shot at it, and I had at least two shots at the big leagues, and like they always say, it's easier getting there than staying there, and that was proven. So I didn't really deserve to make that club in 1970. I was, you know, I didn't deserve it, and they sent me down to Hawaii. So as far as players playing in Hawaii, of course, Rice Levin, like you said, good pitcher, and Danny Stewart. Milner, another one there. They had Jerry Turner, outfielder, left-handed hitter, good hitter, very good hitter. Dave Roberts, of course, he was their number one draft pick, I think, in 1969 or 68 or something. Dave Roberts, remember him?
Oh, yeah, the third baseman?
Yeah, third baseman who ended up becoming a catcher eventually in the big league. Dave was down there, good guy. David Hilton, he was a third baseman. He could swing the bat. Randy Elliott, I don't know if they called him up much or not. Bob Davis was a catcher. But as far as, you know, those guys were, they all were good ball players. And, you know, there were a number of guys run through. Valentine came through, Bobby Valentine. Joe Pepitone was there for a while. So it was kind of a drop-off center for a lot of guys, you know, ending their career, too. But pretty good times there. And it was, you know, it was fun. But it's not the big leagues.
Who were some of your favorite Padre players in the short time that that you were with the club? And also, now that you mentioned about McCovey, you guys played together in '74 real briefly. Did McCovey ever did he remember the 9-iron shot that he hit and the fact that you threw the guy out the plate and then he got thrown out at third? And did he kid you about that?
You know what? McCovey's, when he was with the Padres, at least while I was there up there with him, he didn't talk to anybody. He was off by himself. He had his own locker. You know, he didn't really communicate much. I don't even know if I ever talked to the guy.
Interesting.
Very quiet, you know, I don't want to say aloof, but maybe that's a term to use. But he, you know, he was a San Francisco guy, so maybe he wanted to play in San Francisco, which he eventually did, I think. But he stayed to himself. I wasn't there that long, but I don't remember him really communicating much with anybody.
Interesting. Interesting. I mean, I've heard some good things about McCovey, but I mean, as far as like interaction with players, I've never heard any other Padre players we've talked to really get in depth about playing with him.
Yeah, because he didn't talk.
Interesting.
Yeah. So now, I didn't see it. I mean, I was there for something, for a little bit in '74, but I remember him just sitting there in the corner locker there, just by himself. I don't know. Hard to say.
Well, now you're in 1976. You basically you finally retire from Hawaii after playing there for a few years. Just talk real briefly about you end your career and you decide what do you do from here and what are you currently doing?
Well, you know, after the 1976 season, they had the expansion draft. You know, Toronto and Seattle. You're familiar with that, 1977?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I remember it well. Bill Singer, I think, went to Seattle. I mean, there were several veterans at the end that got drafted and moved around a little bit.
Right. Well, our manager in Hawaii, Roy Hartsfield, and we won the Pacific Coast League Championship that year, and Peter Bavese, you know, Buzzy's son.
We're actually, my co-author is friends with Peter Bavese.
Yeah, well, tell your co-author to tell Peter hi for me.
I sure will. She'll send him an email about that.
Sure, I appreciate it. I like Peter. Now, Buzzy and I didn't get along too well, but I don't think Buzzy got along with very many guys, but that's another story. Anyways, Peter, he was working in the front office with the Padres. I don't know what he's doing, but he was there with his dad. He got the general manager job in Toronto, okay? Now, I'm owned by the San Diego Padres, so I figured, well, if I get back to the big league, it's probably going to be in Toronto because Peter hired Roy Hartsfield, our manager in Hawaii in 75 and 76, as a manager for Toronto. And, you know, I played well for Hartsfield. I hit .300 for him and let off, and, you know, I played good center field for him. So I figured, Wayne, if I get back to the big leagues, that's where it's going to be in the expansion draft. Well, they had the expansion draft, and they didn't draft me. The Toronto Blue Jays didn't draft me. So I said, adios. I said, well, that's it. You know, I could have played another 5 or 6 years. In fact, the Padres sent me a minor league contract, I remember, after that, for like $2,000 a month. Still have it, by the way.
Interesting.
We had a couple kids at that time, and I was tired of traveling, so I got out of the game at that point. Well, funny story here. You know, after that to happen. I didn't get drafted. I couldn't figure it out, especially with the outfielders that Toronto drafted. Granted, the outfielders were younger than me. You know, they were 25, 26, 27. I was 30 at the time, but still, I could still play.
Right.
And I couldn't understand why Hartsfield didn't make a point of drafting me.
Yeah, because they took John Scott. I remember, you know, I know they drafted him in the expansion draft.
Well, they got him some way. I don't know how, but it was weird. I don't know if they traded. I don't know how they got John. But, and John, I think, was owned by San Diego at that time,
yeah,
I think.
He was a minor leaguer that kind of come up and down through the Padres system over the years or whatever. Because there were several guys that had been with the Padres for a while. I mean, it's funny you're saying it, because there were several guys that went over to Toronto right after the expansion draft, either were drafted or traded over there.
You know, well, they must have been traded unless somebody lied to me, because years later I talked to Hartsfield. I got his number, so I gave him a call. He lived in Georgia. He passed away a few years ago. And I got him on the phone, and the first thing he said to me, Wayne, was, even before I said, "How you doing, Roy?" He said, "Rodney, I wanted to draft you and have you play center field for me in Toronto." I said, "Well, why didn't you?" He said, "Well, you were owned by the Padres, and we could only draft American League players." And I'm thinking, well, if you wanted me so badly, why didn't you trade for me or whatever, you know? Because a lot of the outfielders, I guess, were from American League organizations that Toronto drafted. And at least that's what he told me. So, I don't know. If that's true, great. And he never lied to me, but like you said, Scott, God, it was over there. He got there somehow. So I don't know if they traded for those guys or what. But according to Hartsfield, because of Toronto's American League club, they can only draft from American League ball clubs. That's what he told me.
Well, according to online statistics, my crack staff here, which is me, went ahead and looked it up while you were talking. And John Scott, Dave Hilton, and Dave Roberts were all purchased from the San Diego Padres by the Toronto Blue Jays in October 26th of 76.
Okay, so they bought them. Then.
Yeah,
they didn't draft them; they bought them. Apparently,
which is interesting. It's kind of weird, especially purchase three guys in one day.
Yeah, and that's why I hit better than all those guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that your batting average is a thing, but I hit better than Roberts, Hilton, and Scott. I mean, they all had decent years in '76. But I know I hit 300 that year. I don't think they hit 300, but that's here nor there. The point is that if he had wanted me so bad, then why didn't he purchase me like they purchased those other two guys?
Right.
And I'm glad they got a chance to play in the big leagues. They're all, Dave Roberts, super guy, Hilton, super guy, John Scott, super guy. But, that's how it goes. But I was always curious how that happened. But anyways, so from there, we got out of the game, moved to Mission Viejo, California, and got in the insurance business, life insurance business, and been doing that since November 1976. Still doing it, not as much, working with over the years with people's estates, which is what I like to do, and help people save on their federal, state tax, and try to help people save money and keep assets that they've worked all their life for, and hopefully save some money to retire at age 65, because 90 to 95% of the people in this country can't retire at age 95, but they don't save enough money.
What's the name of your company?
Well, I go by the name World Series Associates.
Okay.
So, which my partner thought of that one. But there's no company, it's just me.
Okay.
Like you. There's no staff, it's just me. But I work with my partner. I work with my partner sometimes, and if I need his help, I bring him in.
Well, we certainly want to give a shout out to our fans out there that are listening to this when it gets out there, that if you need help with investment, that Rod is the perfect guy to call. And we hope to get
great.
Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That'd be fine. Just leave, you know, leave my phone number or whatever, however you do that. That'd be great.
Okay, last question here, and once again, thank you so much for your time and talking to Padre fans and baseball fans in general out there. Last question to you, because you've kind of alluded to a lot of stuff for your experience as a player. What advice would you give to college players as well as minor league players that are coming up that are looking toward having a major league career?
Well, first of all, and I'll give you a couple of examples here. First of all, if you have the ability to play pro ball, which not many guys do, not many guys have the ability to play college ball. But if you're one of the few that can get drafted or signed as a free agent, you know, out of college or out of high school, you know, that's great. But the way I look at it, and I'll give you two examples here. I had a couple of people approach me over the years, and their daughter's boyfriend or whatever the situation was, or their son or something. You know, each of these kids have opportunity to sign out of high school or junior college or whatever, but they also had a scholarship to go to a good university, a good baseball school, Division I school, to a full ride to play baseball there. So I told them both to go to school, get your education. Unless you're number one pick or something, they offer you all this money they're offering nowadays. I said, even if you do that, you can still get your education in your contract, you know. Both situations, Wayne, you know, I said yes to go to school. Both guys signed without going to school. They figured they're getting the big leagues. Both of them didn't get the big leagues. One guy's a pitcher, he hurt his arm. I forget what the other guy did. The one guy hurt his arm, he married this gal, and they end up having a kid, getting divorced, you know, one of those things. So this guy, he's out of the game, no education, nothing. I don't know what he's doing now. Hopefully he's doing okay. Same thing the other guy, you know, they sign, they don't make it to the big leagues. Hey, it's a short, I mean, playing ball is a short career. I played 10 seasons and 9.5 seasons, and I could have played more, but most guys get out, you know, they don't last very long, and you get an opportunity to get a scholarship to a nice Division I school, take it. No questions asked. Or, like I said, if you get, you know, if they're a high draft pick, they offer you, you know, whatever amount that you're satisfied them offering you, make sure you get that education in your contract. That's, you know, that's what we did with our son. We made sure after he signed out of Pepperdine, he was Detroit's number one pick in 94, that he signed out of Pepperdine, but he got the rest of the education in his contract, and he went, after he got out of the game, he went back to Pepperdine and got his degree from there. So that's what I always recommend for these kids nowadays, or any time.
Awesome. That is words of wisdom coming from a guy who spent almost 10 years of his life playing Major League Baseball and as well as being in the minor league system. Rod, I'd like to thank you so much for your time, and as we wrap up after we're done with the call, I'd like to get your contact info so we can put it together with the story when we finalize all this stuff. And once again, Rod, it's been our honor as Padres 360 to talk to you as well as about your Mets career, which is ironic because the Mets have a fan-based blog group called Mets 360. So we may end up hearing from them as well with this interview, since part of it has to do with your great Met career and playing with the 69 club. Rod, thank you so much for your time.
Well, you're welcome. Yeah, you know, the Mets I have different organizations who do that from the Mets, and I've interviewed with them before too. I don't know if it's the same one, but hey, Wayne, you are welcome, and it's always fun. So thanks for checking in, and we'll talk after you get off the tape recorder.
Okay, well, let me go ahead and end it. Thank you so much.